Yes, it is. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Thanks for joining us today. The highlight, I'm gonna talk about our plans to switch to Jitsi and why and what that entails. And then the main focus will be open badge assertions compared to VC assertions. IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. And you can go to the CCG group site to join, and it will prompt you to first create a W3 web account. This is all free. It's free to join community groups at W3C. And to read the text of the W3C community contributor license agreement, that is available at this link. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived in the CCG meetings GitHub repo. The link is right here. To speak during the meeting, just type Q plus into chat, and the same will be true when we switch to Jitsi, and we'll call on you in order. Okay, let's go to introductions and reintroductions. I don't see anyone new on the call, but if there is anyone new, please just speak up to introduce yourself. I might call on. Actually, I'm not going to pronounce it correctly. Your name starts with, it's A-D-U-S-E-I. Would you mind reintroducing yourself? I think I've seen this person on a few calls, but I'm not sure if we think... we may have accidentally skipped the introduction. So I think it's Adusai Poku is the abbreviated part that I see in my Zoom. Please introduce yourself if you can. Okay, we'll skip that for now. Anyone want to reintroduce themselves? I'll call on Taylor or actually Jarlath, I think, unmuted.
I did because it's been a while. I tend to be a voyeur on these calls. So I just thought I'd reintroduce myself.
Great.
I'm the CEO and founder of JobSpeaker and very interested in how and this work and how we could leverage it for our students and our institutions. So thanks for your continued work. And we're always here listening and trying to understand how we can use it ourselves. So thank you.
Great, thank you.
Hey, I'll go as well.
Great.
My name is Eric Kuhn. I'm from Microsoft on the decentralized identity team. And I've been doing a lot of work with higher ed and now some K through 12s on how to bring verifiable credentials into those programs. I've been working a lot with the Microsoft education team on kind of integrating this with their suite of products as well.
Great to have you here. Anyone else want to reintroduce themselves before we move on? Okay, let's go ahead then to announcements and reminders. Actually, I was gonna have Jitsi under there, but I switched it to a new topic. So maybe I'll just call out. Does anyone have any announcements, reminders, any conferences I'm forgetting about or anything?
Jim?
Yeah.
I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, that this Friday is the first of two full reviews of the T3 Learning and Employment Record Network draft charter. The intention being for the public to be able to comment, make suggestions, et cetera. In order to get the URL and such, you have to register at the T3 Innovation Hub site. I'll put all this into the chat in a minute. But the charter will be reviewed starting publicly on Friday, and then there'll be a 2-week period for people to add comments directly to it. And so the first session is more of an orientation and introduction. Then the comments will happen asynchronously, and then we'll meet again in 2 weeks to either ratify it or make major changes if that's what occurs, though I don't anticipate that will be likely. And then it'll move forward. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Phil. And I was wondering, would you mind pasting in whatever link might be most current for people to join the T3 Innovation Network?
Absolutely. I'll do that shortly.
It's a lot of relevant work happening there as well. So thanks, Phil. There is an ASU conference coming up next week, but I don't directly have the link for it. So just...
I'll put that in too.
Thank you.
Hey, Kim, and just if we're talking about conferences, I did a presentation with Daniel Buckner at the Bitcoin 2021 conference on ION and DIDs and verifiable credentials on Saturday.
Great. Were you there in person?
Yes, I was. It was great.
Yeah, I've just been getting the Twitter updates, so it looks like it was quite a time. Thank you. Okay, so that's it for announcements and reminders.
Yeah, this is Jim. I'll just mention the LER network for T3. There's going to be the same kind of kickoff for the data and technology standards network this Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And I think the link that Phil will put in the chat will bring you to the page that you can sign up for both of them if you're interested.
Great. Okay. So let's move on to the topic we're about switching to Jitsi. So let me talk briefly about that. Where to start? When we started, right around the time we started this task force, I think the main CCG group was switching to Jitsi, but there were a lot of problems with it. There was we were ourselves hosting the infrastructure and working through a lot of issues, working on getting the meeting transcription infrastructure switched over. And we decided for this group that we didn't want to deal with that sort of extra burden. I think we were having a smaller group. We weren't even sure how many people would be joining, how long we'd be going on. So what we did was we used Zoom actually for the recording. We use my MIT Zoom account, and that allows us to record them, and it also allows us to get the auto transcriptions. The problems that we experienced over time was that the auto transcription quality was poor or variable. So then at that time, we ended up switching to just sort of brief summary of the notes. But then, so we have our own, we basically have our own publishing procedure that deviates from the credentials community group. So over time, the credentials community group tooling has gotten better, Jitsi has gotten better. We wanted to bring back the idea of using Jitsi for these reasons. So the fact that that Zoom needs to, or the ability to record and transcribe if we do that in Zoom needs to be tied to an account, which makes it hard for chairs to rotate, given that we're all from all different organizations. The other thing is that, you know, I guess last weekend I did a whole bunch of catching up on minutes, but we had been going like maybe a month without publishing minutes just because it's sort of bottlenecked on me right now. So the proposal I want to put forward is that we switch to Jitsi. Jitsi doesn't have auto transcribing, but I think that we can stick to the idea of keeping light meeting minutes. Jitsi does theoretically have an auto transcribe feature that we can, we can piggyback on the main CCG group for testing out over time. We'll demonstrate next week how completely lightweight minute taking can be. So Carrie and I will sort of, I think the first 15 minutes of it, we can sort of demonstrate what it's like in the level of details. So unlike the CCG group, we're not expecting people to write down every sentence. We can just keep a major summary and then, keep detailed notes in GitHub issues or wherever relevant, because that's sort of, in this group anyway, we like to kind of streamline and not duplicate where we're keeping track of information. So I think that will do it in a way that the chairs can more easily rotate moderating the meetings, and we can get minutes published in a more timely manner. So I think that this is one of those things. So this is a community group, but unfortunately this is one of the areas where, given that the chairs end up doing the work of publishing it, the chairs get, some people are more equal than others in making this decision. So, we do put it up to the community though, because if anyone has some kind of magical solution that might be better and, wants to sort of take on this commitment of publishing minutes and everything, we're more than happy to hear it. I think there probably are some constraints we have to be aware of from the main CCG group, but let me know if you have any objections to this. And let's see. I see a couple of cues. I don't know if I skipped that from earlier. Jim, was that your T3 comment from earlier?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I'm not seeing any objections. I think what we'll do for next meeting is we're going to meet on Jitsi, but then the first 15 minutes will be welcome, hi, you're in Jitsi, and you'll see it's not that different. You just click on a link to join and you'll be there, and then we'll walk you through what's involved in the rotating scribe duties. And thanks everyone for including the links. That'll make sure we're captured in our minutes. Okay, great. The one next thing I wanted to cover, and actually I don't see Marty on the call today, but I wanted to bring up this one issue that we had been talking about. Let me share my screen and share the link. Okay, so this is it's the first use case. So down here, okay, this is the open credential publisher use case. And down here, Juan Caballero wrote a comment in, and I wanted to provide some context for that and just general awareness in the community. So Juan and I had been talking about the, what is it called? The traceability use case that is being discussed as part of the VC HTTP API. And that is a specific holder to holder use case of verifiable credentials in which the holder is definitely not equal to the subject. So it might be some government entity that's holding credentials that maybe someone else issued. And you know, they're not the subject of it. They're just able to store it. And maybe this holder is sharing it with, what is it called? The airport security. I haven't been through an airport for so long.
TSA.
TSA, thank you. It's like THS. Yes, TSA. and TSA might be another holder who, you know, again, is not necessarily an issuer or the subject. So that's why he mentioned it in the context of the swim lanes. This was for getting use cases for VC HTTP API. So we'll get back to this after we plow through some of the initial open badges stuff. But I wanted to call that out because it might help if we are sort of sharing reusing efforts when we talk about the publishing use case, if we frame that as a holder, which seems to be a pattern that's happening in a lot of the, there may be similarities with patterns that are happening in the VC HTTP API about how, issuers versus holders and the sort of weird boundaries that can come up there. So I wanted to just bring attention to that comment, and we can talk about it on a future call or we can talk about it offline, but we'll come back to that. Sorry, I lost my Zoom chat. Okay, great. Thank you, Taylor, for understanding. Okay, I think we have the initial stuff out of the way. So we can move on to, let me stop sharing. We can move on to the main presentation. So Carrie prepared a slide deck on open badge assertions and verifiable credential assertions. I'm going to include a link to it here. And Carrie, you should be able to present as well.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm going to put some other links in the chat too. These are links that are in the slides, but I thought I would just include them here too, so you had some direct references. All right. That should be all of them. Okay. So my hope today is sort of to go over the differences between open badge assertions, the 2.0 open badge assertions and VC assertions, and then prompt some discussion, especially from the perspective of the relying parties and the verifiers. And we often start from issuer perspective in open badges. And when we're thinking about 3.0 badges, I think it's important that we start thinking about how these credentials would be verified versus just how they would be issued. Not the issuing isn't important, of course, right? But looking at it from that perspective is a different angle. And of course, these are verifiable credentials, so that angle is pretty important. Okay, can you see my slides? Okay, or see my screen anyway?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to leave this open so I can just click through the other things. There isn't a lot of content in these slides. They're more of a reference than anything. But the first thing I wanted to look at was example of a very simple open badges 2.0 assertion. This is pretty close to what we typically see with open badges in 2.0. Here we have this context file. We have the type as an assertion. We have an ID that links to the JSON for the that has this content in it, this JSON-LD content inside of it. We have the recipient profile object where the type is an email and it's hashed, there's salt, and then the identity is here. Not all of open badges have to have salt emails. This is an example where it happens. This is primarily done, if you're not familiar with open badges, this is primarily done to hide the email address from public view since the assertion URL is public so that it can be verified as hosted. And this image here is more than just a badge image. This is intended to be a baked image with this data inside of it so that the badge is portable. You'll note, not this week, but when we go over badge content, that there's an image inside a badge class too, but that's different. This is very specifically intended to be a baked badge. Here is an example where the evidence is. Just note that it's in this like top level assertion. There's an issued on date and expires date. Not all badges expire, but this is an example of where it expires. This is the badge class that's being linked to. We're not going to go into that at all today. This could also be embedded inside this content. And also just note that inside the badge class would be the reference to the issuer who created and asserted this badge, and then of course the verification type. So this is 2.0. This is what we're looking at now.
Siri thought you, I was beckoning her. could you describe a baked badge? There's discussion in the chat about that. Yeah.
Sorry for the zooming in. I'm using a mouse that I'm not familiar with. Let me see if I can just refresh it without the giant zoom. Nope. Oh, well. So a baked badge how I normally describe this is like a digital photo, right? A digital photo has information inside of it, including the date it was taken, the location, possibly the type of camera, right? And those are standards that are inside the digital photo. So when the photo is uploaded, the applications know how to read that data. So that's why you can take a photo with your camera, any kind of camera, and you can upload it to Flickr, Facebook, Instagram, and it will always look pretty much the same. It was like an original intention of open badges, that it would work like that, that you'd have this badge image, you could send it around and verifiers could read it just like they could read a digital photo and authenticate it in that way. It's not often used, honestly, because most badges are not really passed around in that way. They're often just the badge image is shared. But it could happen. There is a baking I wouldn't say specification, but baking library that can be used to bake and unbake a badge.
And that would that be done at the who would actually be doing that? Like what's the idea? Is that any user who inspects a URL should be able to?
The issuer would bake it. The issuer would bake the badge, and then the consumer or the validator would unbake it and then consume the data.
Via like some other tool, like they would take that URL and or that image and then unbake it from another website or app?
There's software to bake it and unbake it. I think it's written in JavaScript, I believe. It's been a while since I looked at it, but that was the original intention. Was that there was like a JavaScript, like I think it might have been Node, honestly, that baked it. And then you could use that same library to unbake it. Does that help? Is that pretty clear?
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Okay, good. Sure. Absolutely. Please ask any questions about badges because some of us have been doing it for a long time and forget that folks aren't aware of how things work. One other thing I want to note here is that this example of an assertion is hosted, but open badges can also be signed. So that's not an unfamiliar notion in open badges. It's not typically used from what we can mostly tell. Typically, badges are hosted at URLs. And so what would happen is that this URL would be accessed, and then the data would be, as long as this URL was accessible, then it was basically asserted. If it wasn't accessible, then it would say that badge is no longer available and can't be verified. That's essentially the level of verification. Nate could correct me, but at some point there was this concept of the URL, the issuer URL would tie to the issuer information, but that doesn't happen as much because of badging platforms. But typically you could go to an issuer profile on a badging platform and see that they issue this badge, right? So that's sort of the extent of the authentication for open badges. Okay, so now, are there any other questions about open badges before I move on to verifiable credentials? Are the open badges?
Nate has put in some good information in the chat.
Thank you, Nate. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to open up this example. This is a rough example of open badges as a VC assertion. And what you'll see in here is this little context. We have this type. We're saying it's a verifiable credential, but it's also an open badge. At this higher level, not in the badge class, is the issuer information. This could just be an ID. I put in other information here that people may think is useful to have about the issuer. There's an issuance date versus issued on. There's this ID, which we can talk about. You see that the URL for this is whatgoesherefor.badges.com, because who knows? This is a big question. And then there is that the credential subject, which sort of in open badges is similar to where the badge class would go, except this ID here is intended to be for the recipient. And then this has credential would point to the badge. And then proof, which we're going to stay away from today. Proof is basically how it would be verified, but this is like how it happens in verifiable credentials, not open badges. So right now in this concept right here, there is no posted consideration, but that's sort of part of the discussion we should have today. And so those are the questions I wanted to ask all of you about. And so I made a little bit of a chart here. And so these are the properties that are required for an open badges as a native VC. And I sort of color coded the ones that match. So issued on is replaced by issued state. Expires is created by an optional expiration date. And then we have this concept of proof, which was verification. Is verification open badges 2.0. So I'm saying deprecated as in like 3.0, not deprecated in 2.0, of course, like 2.0 is still there. And then we have these properties that are optional. Right, we have this ID, which is the, you know, what do we do with this in open badges 3.0.com. Sorry, I crack myself up sometimes. The credential subject ID is not required in a verifiable credential, but obviously we in open badges need somewhere to put the recipient. And it does seem that it is used most times as identifying the subject. Optional also is image. So I left this in here for now, the concept of a baked image, because we can talk about that. Maybe not today, we may not get to it today. I think we have a whole other week assigned for that. Evidence would actually be more related to the credential subject, which we can get into when we get more into credential subject and has credential area. And then expiration date, which is optional in both VCs and open badges, replaced by expiration date and expires goes away. And then there is this concept of credential status in VCs. In Open Badges 2.0, we have a list where badges that are revoked can be listed in a revocation reason. There's no concept of that in verifiable credentials. So I just sort of wanted to like start a discussion here. These are some of the questions I came up with. I feel as though these are just scratching the surface, but I sort of just wanted to leave them up there. Maybe just start with the first one and then we'll just see where the discussion goes over the next, like a little bit under half an hour to go over that. So the first question here is, what does relying third party or a verifier or a validator expect to see from an open badge that's presented as a verifiable credential? So I sort of just wanted to start there with the group and see, because typically have this question would be like, does this look right from an issuer perspective? But let's just try this out. Start from like, what does it look like from a validator perspective? And what do we think about this?
Oops, Nate, you're up.
Sure, so I'll take a quick stab at this. The idea of what does a validator need to know in order to turn a piece of data, the open badge assertion in VC format, back into some kind of real world value where they can apply the understanding of the data in that assertion to a particular, say, user who's signed into their website or a job applicant across the table from them. And so one of the things that you'd need to answer is, what is the identifier of the recipient and how can I ensure that the human being who's sitting across the table or signed into my website actually corresponds to that identifier. They'll also need to know what is the identifier of the issuer of this credential and has the proof been accurately, can I prove that this credential was actually created by the issuer profile such as it exists? Can I resolve information about that issuer profile and see who it is in the real world? And can I get trust information to be sure that when an issuer profile says it is MIT, that it actually is that world leading institution and not some other person who's able to put up a profile that has a name on it like that. And then when we get into the level of the claim, there's a, open badges specific claims that we make are the defined credential claim is sort of the core of it that we've been talking about here for a long time, that there is a particular defined achievement that has been recognized of this subject. That means that they've met the criteria, they went to the educational opportunity and did something probably and got assessed for it and they have done it. So what is the actual, unique identifier, I guess, of that defined achievement? And do I know about this already? Do I accept this specific unique identifier for some type of value in my system? If not, at least, what are all the different pieces of metadata within that defined achievement so that I can do something sort of useful like displaying it on a web page with the name and the image and the description and the criteria information, all that sort of open badges metadata. Another layer of it would be, does this assertion recognize some kind of skill? Does the defined achievement align to a skill or competency that is recognized in my system? And if so, can I take this particular issuer's word at full value of a assertion that this learner has met that skill? And I think that gets us a pretty long way, but there's some pretty hard questions in each of those layers that I described. But that would sort of be the approach that I would go through if I were considering writing a VC verifier software for this type of open badge claim.
I put myself on the queue next. I guess I didn't hear it. You may have mentioned it, but I would also say making sure it's timely in terms of hasn't expired. Hasn't been revoked or whatever according to status, but let's see. Yeah, those are the only major ones I can think of. That's a good summary.
I'm just going to respond to Anthony's question about the badge class in the chat. Anthony, we're just sort of not discussing the badge necessarily right now. We're just discussing at the assertion level today. So you'll see that under has credential is badge, and then in the brackets. Just dot dot dot. So we're gonna bypass the badge class for now.
Phil, you're up, or P1.
Yeah, the only thing I would add is if we're talking about it from the perspective of what does the verifier want from this, I think the last thing is whatever the richness of the badge metadata happens to be, they want a means of pulling it out to put it someplace they can use it in their systems. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nate, we'll get back to that when we get back to the credential subject part. But you're probably right. That's good, guys. Anybody else have any sort of thoughts as to, because I have a follow-up question that's on the list, but I'm sure everyone has their say. Eric?
So just so I understand, I'm not super familiar with open badges. So in this, has credential badge, that's where all of the data that's normally baked in is normally part of that baked PNG is going to be. So as a relying party, when I get the VC, I have all information that I normally would have had to unpack from some unbaking, you know, JavaScript library, and I can just pull directly out of the VC. Is that the idea here?
Close. So if we were going to do baking, it would be all of this would get baked into the badge. And the actual badge class where the dots are, that's actually the content of the badge, where it is the name, the description, the criteria, right? Those types of things, what the alignment of the competencies or skills. So that's the more of like the descriptive content of the badge.
Oh,
and the perfect. Assertion is more of the authentication layer, say. But if you were to bake this, all of it would be in the badge.
Okay. So I know the question was, what does the RP expect? But the first thing I was thinking about, which I just wanted to validate, was as a user, I expect not to rely on the issuer to have to present that. And I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like some hosted, you know, image URL that, you know, then the relying party has to go download. Like everything should be self-contained in this VC.
Well, yeah, and that's the discussion we want to have. Right, is that most of Open Badges 2.0 are hosted. And we're talking about a pretty big shift to not hosted, right, to a verifiable credential version. And we're sort of wondering like what are the implications of that in the ecosystem for Open Badges? Kim?
Yeah, I put myself in the queue. I think this is two parts. It's sort of a question for you and Nate. Like, first, my impression is that we're not really thinking so much about baking right now. We'll get to that later. The other, and we can come back to that if there, you know, your comments on that. And then the other is yes to the self-contained. And I think it's so, but it's sort of in between. So you know, yes, Open Badges 2.0, a lot of them are hosted, even though Open Badges does have a signed option. And I think, you know, certainly there's a lot of interest in having it self-contained. I think though, there is also a lot, like there's the idea of self-contained in terms of not having dependencies, hard dependencies on like say an issuer or some other party being up. But I think there may be very, very rich metadata, like especially in educational linked data. Sometimes it may be reasonable to draw a line somewhere. And this is when we start getting into the very rich metadata structures where, you know, at a certain point, it's sort of like, here's this well-known, I don't know, like, well, maybe it's a credential engine registry ID or something. There's a lot of stuff there. And then it's expected that someone else can go unpack that later. But so I think we are, that's something we want to get to is figuring out that line. Cause I think there's probably no disagreement that, you know, there's strong agreement. I'll skip doing all my double negatives. So strong agreement that we want to minimize any dependencies on like the issuer or something, you know, because that's critical for the credential continuing to be usable. But so there will be some fuzzier things. So on the first question about bakeness, my impression is that we're sort of punting on that.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I just wanted to make sure there was some understanding on how it all worked.
Great.
Yeah, we should punt on that for now, for sure.
P1.
I was just going to say that I think it's important to clarify is that we're trying to take a step in this initial stage that that bridges away from the current hosted badge environment as it exists and recognize that there is, and what that means, I guess, is that there's enough in what's presented to be useful. And then as you were describing, Kim, there's an enormous opportunity to do much richer metadata around the meaning of the assertion, student examples of work, professional examples of work, et cetera, et cetera. And that likely we would want to have hosted in some location that's secure and hash linked and such to verify it hasn't been messed with. But that's adds another layer in the overall ecosystem. So I think what we're talking about first is what can we do that's minimally useful to the relying party. And I would love to see us jump to the point where we have a linked data connection to the richness of the metadata that can be in that badge for people that want to delve into it, but maybe not in the first pass.
Right.
That's up for discussion.
Keith?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to add a different viewpoint. I think, you know, we are very interested in this conversation, but it's because we want the publicly hosted assertions there, because we feel that open badges serve a very good purpose for publicly displaying your credential on social media or in a legacy resume or something like that. I mean, we see that VC attributes is the way to move a lot of different learning credentials around, learning completions. Because you can support things like selective disclosure, and we have all these great features in VC land. We think the role of open badges is giving the user something they can publicly display, but also present to a verifier. So I think it's a great high level fundamental question is, you know, why are we putting open badges in VCs? What are their purpose? What role do they play in the ecosystems that we want to build?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been floating around in this area too, which is why I put the what goes here for badges.com in the ID property there. Keith, when you talk about sharing a badge publicly, you're not really talking about like the assertion URL, right? You're not the JSON LD content, but instead like a page where that content can be viewed, or either.
Yeah, the public page, just like we all see on our LinkedIn profiles every day. People, they get their Microsoft certification or their Amazon certification. They share their badge on their LinkedIn profile, and you can click into that to learn more. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's really useful. It's really practical. It gives something they can use with the credentials they receive. And I certainly don't want to get rid of that functionality, because to me, that's core to open badges.
And in that example, would the badge still be signed and a verifiable credential as well? So there would be a link to that badge, but also the proof would be a signature? Like there would be cryptographic proof?
Well, I think it comes back to, why are we wanting to put open badges inside of VCs? Like, to me, a major reason is because then open badges can tie into proof request architecture. So, I mean, I think the thing that's lacking open badges today, as we said earlier, was it's very hard to move badges between wallets or from wallets to verifiers. So like, I think this is a great way to actually hook into infrastructure that we're all building around VCs about. So yes, make it very easy. So if you have like 50 badges in your wallet, you can pass 3 of your badges to a verifier that they can easily consume and use in their backend system of record.
But the verification, and I'm sorry, I'll get to you in 1 second. The verification wouldn't be hosted anymore like you currently do open badges hosting, though.
Yeah, we would just rely on the existing VC verification methodologies.
Interesting. Okay, thank you. Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting perspective. The idea that badges are all about that sharing page, has some correctness to it. Badges can easily be shared by that URL. Right now, today in the Open Badges 2.0 world, that particular URL is hosted by the issuer. And that is something that a lot of VC folks would rather get away from, and would rather have the sharing of a credential be initiated by the holder the data subject themselves. I think we could pretty easily accomplish that by having the holder have starting with cryptographically signed badges, and in order to advance cryptographically signed digital credentials, there's no reason not to use VC. So if we're replacing the hosting mechanism in order to produce a more secure experience where learners have better control of their own badges, then learners could put that digitally signed object onto a displaying service at some point and share that to their social media if they like it. There's no necessity for that displaying service to be held by the issuer. It could be owned by the individual who's earned the badge. So I think we could still have that capability of sort of storytelling by sharing URLs around that Open Badges 2.0 can have. But as far as the broader question of, is that the only reason why we would issue open badges? No, that's not the only reason why we use open badges, this idea of a defined achievement as a learning claim. And I think this points to one of the reasons why I would say the has credential property needs to go directly to the badge, not to some unnecessary interstitial object, is because in order to do machine actions on credentials, this idea of individual A, who's an entity in my system, a learner, employee, whatever, I know this individual who has accomplishments, they have a particular credential. They have a specific Microsoft certification or a specific competency recognized of them. Those are things that I can put onto learning pathways. I can put those onto job profiles. There's a bunch of different use cases that we unlock for actually making use of the value in badges beyond the sort of initial storytelling purpose of sharing to a URL that is almost it was the first thing built for open badges. And it's the sort of the most common usage out there, but things like learning pathways, job profiles, and actually consuming these badges for their data is coming along. And VC would be a great container for it, especially if we make the structure of the claim simple enough so that it's really easy to build that business logic around it.
Right. Don't see anyone in the queue. I just sort of wanted to say that I had a misimpression, I think, at some point that I was trying to work through, which was that Open Badges 3.0 could both be hosted and a VC assertion, which I'm clearly getting is very incorrect. And I find it interesting this ID property, I think, could be used in the way that Keith is suggesting, but also not be required in any way, right? It could just be an optional property. I think I was under the impression that proofs could be used in the same way the verification object is used in 2.0, but that's not really the case. And so one thing we should talk about too is that if folks in the ecosystem still want to use hosted badges, then they would have to rely on the 2.0 open badges. Do folks agree with that? Kim?
I guess it's taken me a while to come to a simple, to a straightforward answer on that, because I guess so there's a couple of things that seem to be being mixed in the previous conversation, which is like the fact that I'm okay with it. Okay, let's see. The idea of badges being something that I'm okay with sharing, you know, the sort of public data, I think it's okay until it starts bringing in additional assumptions, like the idea that I'm necessarily okay that the issuer would make this information public. You know, what if I want it withdrawn later for whatever privacy reasons? So I think like the idea of a badge being information I'm comfortable sharing, like that may be true anecdotally, but I think we can't make too many assumptions on it. And then in terms of like how that relates to hosted badges, I think, you know, so it certainly is nice, the idea that if that is being done, the idea is a good place to do that. I think, I mean, part of that feels like a discussion for, let's see. It is a big discussion, like the idea of saying like, we're taking badges in a direction where we're recognizing there are nuances beyond like, you know, you can't necessarily just host things publicly unless there's consent obtained and, you know, all these other considerations. I don't know. So short, long story around like, why I'm having a hard time answering that. So I'm curious what other people think though.
I'm gonna cue myself up real quick. That's an excellent point. And that was one of the reasons why when I showed you this like hashed email, it was because at the time people were like, how could we expose email, right? Email is an identity sort of, and we don't want people to know this would be public, right? There's very little identifiable information in a badge, but that may change if there's evidence. And maybe it's that, you know, a wallet could provide a public link. In that way, the learner can say, I'm going to share it from my wallet on a public URL. And they can make the decision to share versus the issuer. Looking in the chat here. Eric, could you, do you mind jumping in and saying a little bit more about your comment?
Sure. So Anthony was asking about the VC logic, including a public share. So I was just kind of commenting that, I mean, anytime, so right now, you know, we're building, you know, the ability to issue and as an RP request and verify VCs. And that's kind of this one-to-one relationship. I'm a user, I'm presenting to this verifier, right? And that requires the user signing a verifiable presentation, which includes the VC. And then the verifier can validate, you know, those, the presentation and the VC. So that's a kind of just a one-to-one relationship. And this sort of like, I am now sharing to the public a VC is not something that I don't know, I've done or particularly thought a ton about. So I'm assuming that if you were to share a VC publicly, it would also require a presentation because that's the only way you could confirm that they are the ones who should share it.
Right. Yes, that makes sense. Of course.
Is it possible somebody could, because I feel like between what Nate said, what Keith said, what Kim said, like there's a bunch of different things going on. I'm trying to distill what are the different options here, because it seems like there's a few different directions that this could go. And I'm trying to just to grok, like, what are the different options? And just to echo what Keith said, from what I'm hearing from customers, from our own internal team who issues these open badges today, they like the ability to show off some display to the world that they've got this credential. And at the same time, other customers want that one-to-one, you know, very strong verification that they can do that ties to the user and their ID. So like, what are the different options, you know, from, you know, this example, or as an open badge as a VC assertion to hosting and then, you know, being, you know, or whether you present your VC to a hosting service, or does the issuer provide a badge that's tied to the VC? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to get the universe of options here. It sounds like there's a few different ones.
It is a universe of options. So you're right. Kim and I had discussed sort of doing some of that distillation and writing things up so we can get that. I think this is just a very early conversation where we're bringing up all these options. So I'm glad you stated them all, because now we have them and we can really try and work through those. Absolutely. It's a lot, right? And there's so many use cases, and we don't have nearly enough use cases in our repository to really address all of those questions.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to chime in on there real fast is that last week we did talk about the, structurally different kinds of options. And the idea of these sessions were to talk through some specific issues with a mind of helping us pick which structural option is working best for these different use cases. So I think the ones we talked about last week, I guess we're sort of working to reducing the search space through these discussions. So, and P1, you're up.
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of summarize perhaps. I think one of the things that's interesting is that in the open badge world, the idea has always been that anything that goes in a badge is public by definition. And in the VC world, it's been, we want to provide a mechanism by which the holder has the full control over a presentation in a verifiable way, and that no one but the relying party is the recipient. That's sort of the two extremes that we're starting from. And now we're trying to figure out how do we pull these things or bring these things together? Do we even do that? Or do we leave open badges as the public way of expressing things and VCs as a one-to-one personal, private, verifiable, cryptographically sound method for this exchange? And the interim and the middle ground is there a subset of the VC that is intended or could be intended to represent the use case of the open badge, and a separate subset which goes into much greater detail and allows the richness of the credentialing models that are emerging from standards organizations today to provide employers or others with the fine-grained option or the fine-grained data that enhances their ability to match a job opening, for example, to a potential set of applicants. So I just wanted to encapsulate that.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you. Unfortunately, I'm looking at time. These conversations always go so fast. And I thought this might happen. What I'd like to do, come back next week, is dig into this a little bit more, into these other questions, and possibly recap where we left off today, if that's okay. Does that sound good, Kim and Anthony?
Yes, sounds great.
And next week, I will include more badge class and badge information in the example too, so people can see that.
Great. Thank you, Carrie. Great job leading this.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Feel free to email me if you have other thoughts. So I'll put my email address in here in case you need it, because I would love to hear from you if you have other thoughts. Cool.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thanks, everybody.